Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. It's not just Mexico that have a big CONCACAF World Cup qualifier coming up this evening. It is, of course, the US men's national team as well. Arguably one of their biggest. A man who's going to let us know if it is one of their biggest or not is a man on the line right now. Mr. Alan Ramsey joining us from goal.com. Alan, you're the man to talk all things US men's national team with. How are you today? You're not feeling too edgy, I'm hoping.
No, I'm doing fine, If the result goes the wrong way tonight, that might all change. But, as of right now, I'm still feeling all right.
When you look at the build-up over this last week to this game, and you see all the problems that Jurgen's had with competitive matches and really getting the best out of the US in those competitive games in the back end of 2012, is this the biggest World Cup qualifier that the US men's national team has faced in the last decade, would you say?
Ooh, that's... No, I still can't say that. There were still games where if the U.S. lost, they weren't going to a World Cup, or if the results went wrong for a game or two, they weren't going to a World Cup. And in the long run, we're in the second game of a 10-game run here. So, even if you lose to Costa Rica, and don't get me wrong, if you lose to Costa Rica and then go to Azteca and lose to Mexico, things are not good. You're not in a good spot. But nonetheless, you would still have seven games to essentially pick up, 15 points or 16 points you would need out of seven games, which, that's a big ask. That's a tough task. But it's also not impossible. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're eliminated if they lose tonight. They're just putting themselves in a bad spot.
That's why
I'm not quite on edge yet about how things are going.
It is a bad spot that they appear to be in at the moment. The media pressure on them has been relentless over this week. Have you felt the pressure coming onto Jurgen Klinsmann's shoulders in the build-up to this game? And how much do you think is at stake in terms of his reputation as the U.S. men's national team manager?
I think his reputation as the U.S. national team manager among the media is probably where it was maybe 4 or 5 months ago. There just happened to be an article came out that had, anonymous sources and quotes from players that brought to light some things that I do think some people already knew about within the media. I think the big thing is his reputation with the fans has probably been dented quite a bit, because the U.S. public in general was very excited about having, a name that they knew, a big name that they knew as the national team manager. So, if they come out and they win against Costa Rica and then they go to Azteca and they get a win there, well, everything's forgiven and the world is right and, there's really no pressure. If they win against Costa Rica and lose in Azteca, everything's fine, I mean, there's only time that pressure comes on is when results don't go your way. One loss in Honduras, not that big a deal. It's really not. So come out and get a result tonight and a lot of that pressure goes away, I think.
Is there a possibility, though, of a loss this evening? This is a Costa Rica side that can cause upsets going up against a U.S. men's national team side that is very inexperienced, especially at the back.
Yeah, it seems the listings, there's definitely a chance it can go poorly. I mean, you've got, like you said, a Costa Rica team that can attack, that brings some experience to it. Brian Ruiz is a high-quality player. He's not the only guy they've got either. They're going to run out a group that is really going to test this U.S. back line. At the same time, you're playing at altitude. You're going to be playing on a nice pitch. It's going to be nice and cool. Our guys should be able to run. It's not like they're in Honduras on a bumpy pitch where it's 95 degrees outside and they're all struggling for air coming from Europe and being thrown back into what amounts to a southern summer in Texas, or somewhere like that. So the conditions should be fine. The U.S. should be able to play their game. The one thing I do like that Jurgen's done is he actually brought a couple of wingers into the camp, so we may be able to have a little bit of width. So, yeah, I mean, it's not quite time to freak out just yet, but Costa Rica could give them problems for sure.
There's always going to be problems when you're playing, especially with some maybe players that are kind of lacking in experience. How much credit do you give to the players in this build-up week to this game in the way that they've handled it? We saw Michael Bradley coming out and saying that people talking to the media about this sort of stuff is ridiculous, and Omar Gonzalez kind of saying this isn't a problem at all. Is that a great maturity to have in this young U.S. side?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a lot of maturity. I still think there's a lot of leadership in the team. And here's the thing about the anonymous quotes. We don't know who they are. There's no way of knowing who they are. And it could be sour grapes from guys that have been in and out. It could be, man, there's so many scenarios that it could be. And I'm sure Jurgen's rubbed some guys the wrong way. I think every manager does. I do think the changing of lineups left and right, maybe some guys don't feel like they've been able to get in and find the flow and really been given a chance. You know, because maybe you've been in for a game and then out for a game and then in for a game and not playing the same position or being asked to do things that you don't do at the club level, those kind of things. But I do think when you're talking about Michael Bradley, when you're talking about guys like Clint Dempsey, even Jozy Altidore, Hercules Gomez, some of these guys, you've got a lot of experience in big games, and you've got a lot of guys that can be leaders and will be leaders. And, you know, I just don't see it as being as big of a problem as it came off to be, you know, early in the week. And I think the guys have responded very well to it.
There was a lot of disappointment from U.S. men's national team fans about Carlos Bocanegra being left out. What were your thoughts on that, Alan, when you heard that Bocanegra hadn't made the squad? Was Jurgen right to drop him because of the lack of playing time?
In a lot of cases, I would say yes. Jurgen was right. He hasn't been playing. He's in the second division in Spain. If you're not playing there, what are you doing playing for the U.S. national team? It's a weird scenario because that's your captain and because you've got such a green back line. So it's one of those things where I would have liked to have seen Bocanegra in simply because of the experience that he brings and because you're playing two teams that he's very familiar with. But at the same time, he's not playing, and if the manager thinks that that's the right decision, it's kind of hard to argue with it.
Is it good because Klinsmann, in Bocanegra's case, is almost holding him to an extremely high standard? As you say, if you can't play in Spanish Division 2, what are you doing trying to play for international football? Is that the kind of high standards that the US soccer needs to be held up against in general for it to improve and develop?
I mean, I believe it. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that if you're in the English Championship, for instance, let's just, for instance, Tim Ream. If you're not getting on the field for Bolton, what are you doing playing for the U.S.? If you're not getting on the field for a second division Spanish team, what are you doing playing for the U.S.? Same thing in Germany, Italy. Being in the second division shouldn't exclude you from playing for the U.S., but if you can't get on the field there, it probably should, right? I mean, this is the kind of standard that we should be at this point in time. We have enough guys in Europe, enough guys that are getting first team minutes at maybe not big clubs, but first division clubs that are getting first division football. Why would they not stick to that standard? And so, yeah, it does hurt to see Carlos left out because of how good he's been for the U.S. and how much he brings to the table in terms of leadership and experience. But, yeah, it's a standard that I think Jurgen is holding everybody to. So I don't think you'll see players that aren't playing in the second division that aren't getting on the field. I don't think you'll see them called in the future.
There's another man obviously missing from this U.S. men's national team who's a big influence on that back four. That's, of course, Tim Howard. Recently criticised for his U.S. performances, though. A number of people saying kind of lacks that command in the box. How much of an opportunity is this for Brad Guzan to come in and to take this starting number one job? Is that a possibility, do you think?
I think it is a possibility. I don't think it's a probability. He would have to come in and really, really be lights out against Mexico and Costa Rica, mainly against Mexico. I think what he can do is create a lot of doubt going forward. Brad Guzan's a good player. Anybody that's watched Aston Villa play this year realizes that he's facing shots left and right. That back line is it's been really rough for him. He's given up a lot of goals, so the goal totals look bad against him. But if you watch Aston Villa play, that guy's making some big, big saves and keeping them in games that they have no business being in. So, yeah, I definitely think that Guzan can come in and create a little bit of doubt. But Tim Howard is Tim Howard. You know, he's been very good. The one thing that I did see, the one comparison was Oliver Kahn and Jan Blaemann and what Klinsmann did in that situation. So, yeah, there can definitely be some doubt created over this weekend.
Is it nice to have a keeper? You mentioned, of course, Guzan's been peppered with shots for Aston Villa, and he's made the most number of saves in the Premier League than any other goalkeeper up until this point. So is it nice to have somebody that you know can be relied on still and is used to being kept busy when you've got an inexperienced back four like we could possibly see the US lining up with?
I think it is the perfect situation to have Guzan come in behind those guys because I do feel like he is he's used to dealing with that. Kind of what you're alluding to there, he's used to dealing with a back four that at times can be in shambles, and he's used to having to organize. And he's also a little bit used to being under pressure constantly and to try to cover mistakes from defenders, whereas maybe Howard is a little more used to having defenders that are in the right spots, making the right plays, doing those kind of things. Because Everton's back line has been very good this year. I mean, Tim's had to make some great saves and had to come up big in some spots. But, yeah, I mean, I think it does set up very well for Brad Guzan to come in behind this young back line. A lot of guys back there trying to prove themselves and, you know, maybe prove that he can lead that kind of unit or that particular group to doing really good things against two teams that can certainly attack and will put you under pressure.
So, Alan, how do the U.S. approach Costa Rica tonight, and then how does that differ as well in their approach in the Azteca coming up on Tuesday?
Two completely different games, in my opinion. Mm. I think tonight you'll see the U.S. Try to get on the ball a lot, try to work into the little spaces, work a little bit quicker, maybe through the midfield, and then try to get it wide and hold possession. You're probably going to see Josie and Clint running up top would be my guess. You could see Hercules Gomez too. But what I think will happen tonight is you'll see a lot more of the U.S. trying to be on top of play and on top of the game. And I think when you go to the Azteca, you kind of have to treat it, at least in the CONCACAF region, like you're playing Spain. You know, you've got to go in with the understanding that Mexico is going to have the ball. Mexico's going to knock it around. You've got to be compact. You've got to be organized. And let's be honest, you've got to hit them on the counterattack. You've got to take advantage of your set pieces. You've got to take advantage of corners. You know, that's how you have to approach a Mexico game in Azteca. So I think it's two completely different games. I think there's a very good chance that how Jurgen lines them up will reflect that he expects it to be two completely different games. So I'm hoping tonight they come out and they show a little bit of free-flowing, possession-oriented football, and then when they go to the Azteca, hey, if you walk out of there with a point, all the better. You know what I mean? That's kind of how you have to approach it.
Heads will be raised very high if they get out of the Azteca with a point, that's for sure, Alan. We've spoken about the defence, we've spoken a little bit about the forward line there. Let's talk about this midfield, and who's going to be the kind of starting four in this midfield, because it's a very adept bunch of players that Jurgen's picked, and a lot of them seem on a very similar skill level. How do you make the choice between who plays and who doesn't?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how you actually make that decision. I think in the long run, Jermaine Jones and Michael Bradley are maybe a notch above the others just because of the level that they've played at. You know, with Bradley being at Roma and being in that kind of team and having seen some of the big games that he's seen, and with Jones having played so many minutes in the Champions League and those sorts of things, maybe that gives them a little bit of an advantage in terms of experience. And also, you know, Michael Bradley's a guy that has a lot of trust of the rest of the U.S. national team. So I think that certainly plays in his favor. Aside from that, how you pick them, I'm a firm believer that you don't always have to get your best 10 field players on the field, that sometimes you need to get your best 8 field players on the field and find a couple of guys that can do a job on a wing or can do a job in a certain position. So maybe that plays into it tonight. Maybe you see Beasley run out on the left, or, you know, who knows what Jurgen's actually going to do with it. But I think there's a lot of things to look at as far as how they want to attack Costa Rica. And, you know, he'll make his decisions based off of who he thinks gives them the best chance to play the way that they want to play tonight.
As Breck Shea hindered his chance of starting by being at Stoke City since January, he's only had 2 appearances for Stoke this year. I mean, is this hindering him and getting himself noticed? He's in the squad at the moment, but Jurgen's spoken about flow of players who are getting game time.
Breck was injured when he went there. He was hurt when he went there. He's coming off an injury. There's no way he's fit. He hasn't played a lot of matches in general. So yeah, I don't know how much it actually hinders him to be at Stoke. I think he can play for Stoke. I think he fits the mold at Stoke pretty well. Big, fast, strong, likes to attack, likes to run. Maybe it takes him a little bit of time to get into the team, and maybe for a little while it hinders him because he might not be of the Premier League quality just yet. But you know, at the same time, if he's in the team by the start of next season or if he plays next season well, does it really hinder him if you're starting in the Premier League from making the World Cup roster in 2014? I don't think it does. I think he's still in a good spot. Obviously, he's got to get on the field and he's got to play. So that's really what it comes down to. How much can he get on the field for Stoke? How much time can he spend playing? And how much can he improve over the next 6 to 8 months before they really have to start making decisions about who goes to Brazil if we do, in fact, qualify for Brazil?
Alan, there's an if then, if the US qualify for it. I mean, a number of people have said that they're sure that the US are going to get out of the hexagonal round and be at World Cup 2014. You're saying it's not as easy as some people may think it is?
Do I believe that the U.S. will qualify? Yes, I do. I believe they will qualify. However, it's never cut and dry, is it? I mean, we've seen some really good teams not make World Cups out of groups and areas. You know, everybody talks like in Europe, you know, it is, don't get me wrong, it's a lot harder. But we've also seen some teams in European groups that they should have dominated, not come out of them, you know? So, yeah, when you play teams that are athletic, that like to junk games up, that like to, you know, keep it nasty as much as they can at their home turf. I mean, yeah, it's tough. It's never straightforward. I mean, even the last World Cup qualifying cycle, right there at the end, there was a game against Honduras that, hey, things were up in the air very much. So, yeah, I believe that the U.S. will qualify. I don't think it's easy. And, yeah, there's an if. There's an if.
There's always an if. Alan, can you give us a score prediction for tonight's game and for the game in the Azteca, mate? Put you on the spot.
Tonight's game, yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Tonight's game, let's. I think it'll be something along the lines of 2 or 3-1 for the U.S. I do think that at some point or another they'll give up a goal, but I think that they've also got the quality to break this Costa Rica team down, and the fact that Costa Rica will try to attack them should open up some opportunities. Game in the Azteca. I'm going to get booed for this all over the place. I think 2-0 Mexico is really kind of what I feel about that.
But that's no failure for Klinsmann, and at least the win tonight will still take a little bit of the pressure off him, even despite the prediction of a loss in the Azteca. Alan, it's been it's been a pleasure.
Can I say one last thing?
Oh, of course,
one last
of course.
Thing for you. Just so that it's on your podcast, people need to understand a win against Costa Rica, a loss in Azteca, and the U.S. is still very much on schedule for qualification. That's what needs to be understood for the U.S. fan base. 3 points here, you've won your home game, you're still on schedule. That's what they're looking for, okay?
And if they don't get the 3 points?
We're a little bit of problems. Got some problems.
Well, let's hope there are no problems come Saturday morning for the US men's national team and for everybody out there who's going to be watching the USA Costa Rica game. Alan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. Always enjoy having you on to have a chat about US soccer, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Take care and have a good afternoon. Alan Ramsey there joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things US men's national team as they get set to take on Costa Rica this evening. And a very big point to be made there. Alan's right. If it does just end in 3 points from these two games, it's not all over for the US men's national team. We were speaking about it before the hexagonal round started. How, look, you win your home games and pick up a few odd points on the road and you're there, you're through. So surely the loss in Honduras, you know, that sucks for the US team, but it's not the end of the world still.
I'm just saying, Juice, that I am more than happy to have, I wouldn't mind if Alan Ramsey was to be the next coach of the US men's national team. I bet you'd get those boys in line, no problem.
Well, he might chill things out a bit considering the way, although you asked to be like a European football country, Raf, and you get the European football style press coming in this week and suddenly you don't like it as a US men's national team. If you want to be big stars, you're going to have to take all the crap that comes with leaked quotes and sources in the press. The US men's national team, it's just been such a difficult week, it seems, for Jurgen Klinsmann. There's been cameras around the place, all over the place, different stories and different comments coming out all over the place. And really, and what makes it worse is that then everybody starts saying, kind of, it's not just the players that kind of have a mixed message. We heard Omar Gonzalez and Michael Bradley earlier in the week with kind of two mixed messages about the whole leaked quotes fiasco. But it's also the thousands of articles that come up on the internet about, oh, does this mean that, you know, Jürgen's lost the confidence of the team, and does this mean you know, the US men's national team is doomed for failure under Jürgen and all this kind of thing? And as soon as everybody and I'm not going to lie, we put something up kind of like that on our site, you know, because we got to ask the question. But it doesn't, it obviously doesn't help Jürgen or the players, you know, if they're checking in a World Football Daily and see that and think, oh no, I mean, are we losing? It just puts that seed of doubt, inception, ref, that seed of doubt in the players and the managers' minds about how good this US men's national team is. I still think there's plenty of quality in that group. I just don't, there's not enough quality in that group to beat Mexico in the Azteca. I'm saying now, ref, that's not going to happen. But to get a result tonight, I still think there's enough quality, as long as that back four can be kind of held together with Guzan organising it nicely and the players listening, understanding and responding. And I'm sure Jürgen will have been working a lot on defending this week in the build-up to the Costa Rica game, because that Costa Rica attack, I mean, Alvaro Saborio, Brian Ruiz, of course, a fantastic player, Joel Campbell as well, all three of them can cause problems for the US men's national team. And it's not going to be a walkover, let's put it that way, for the US tonight in Denver. But altitude as well, do you think that plays a big part, the altitude in Denver? Is that a big favour for the US? Can they say, well, we've got the altitude? Like, I mean, we see it being a huge advantage for Bolivia in CONMEBOL clashes. In La Paz, I mean, the altitude there is ridiculous. But is Denver the same? Is that the US's La Paz in terms of it almost guarantees them to get a point because if a team isn't used to the altitude?
I guess. Perhaps. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how long they've been in Denver. I feel like they've only been in Denver for a couple of days, so I'm not sure if they've adjusted to the altitude yet. They probably have, you know, the national team, the U.S. national team. But I'm thinking that it's not, I don't know, Mile High, is that? I don't know. It's not necessarily, I don't know. I don't think it is. To be honest, I don't think that we have very many places that we can go unless it's literally the dead of winter and we go to like Foxborough or, you know, Columbus or maybe North or South Dakota, perhaps. We should really hit up one of these like really small kind of states that, or not small states, but states with little population and really, really close to the Canadian border so we can maximize the cold. And, you know, at the same time, maybe have some sort of a you know, an American audience to be catering to.
Get that giant bowl built in the Yellowstone Basin. That's what you need to do. you know, the Yellowstone Bowl in the basin in Yellowstone National Park, that would definitely, maybe not just with the height, but also with the weather and the snow. Although, I tell you what, it'd be poor guys, poor groundsmen that would have to clear up that snowfall before a game. They'd be there for about a month beforehand doing it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that could be your way forward. That could be your, but Alan Ramsey believing that the altitude could be a little bit of a factor for the US men's national team this evening as they take on Costa Rica, but still saying that they won't be able to do it in the Azteca in a competitive game against Mexico. Let us know your thoughts in the build-up to the big US men's national team game. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, 310-909-8483. Down the phone line and, of course, on the Facebook page as well. We're going to take a very quick break here on WFD. When we come back, I'll be telling you which is the game that you really should be watching this evening or keeping an eye on in terms of World Cup qualifiers, aside, of course, from your own nation. We'll be back in just a sec here on WFD.